Only as churches grow and multiply can the kingdom be said to be coming. Some of the churches have heartwarming stories. When missionaries first heard of the church at Rijal, its members had organized a Sunday school, built a nicely painted building, and had 10 new Christians awaiting baptism. The leader of this church was Joseph Orukotan, a Yoruba man who made his living by trading. Before he founded the Rijal Church, he helped to found churches at Yelwa and Kagera. Rijal Church is bringing half-clad pagan people of neighboring tribes into its worship services and interpreting the services into their languages. It also has mission services in pagan villages. The kingdom is sometimes ministered ably by transformed Nigerians, and in many cases, God accomplishes through them unique achievements that he does not do through Americans. Kaduna First Church is a large Yoruba church in a regional capital. Without prompting by American missionaries, this church conducts missions to Gwari, Udoma, and Hausa tribes people near Kaduna. The pastor, Reverend Iowakin Bala, foregoes the advantages of an automobile for a bicycle and lives with his family in a small mud and plaster house in order that this mission program may go on growing. This church has multiplied itself into 6 churches and missions and supports them until they are self-supporting. The Naria mission with the Gwari people, which Miss Hunt and Mrs. Mathis have seen, is the result of the concern of the WMS of the Kaduna Church. When hearts yield, the Holy Spirit uses them and the Word grows in them, and missionary churches are the result. Christians won by Nigerians are competent under the Holy Spirit to win other Nigerians and other Africans and non-Africans. Taught by the Word and the Spirit, their spiritual life deepens. Christian leaders are now active who are 2 or 3 generations removed from close contact with Southern Baptist missionaries. More and more Nigerian Christians are going outside their tribal areas and outside of their country to preach Christ. Nigerian missionaries have established a beachhead in Sierra Leone, an African country which is 99% Muslim. There is a steady increase in newly organized churches, and hundreds of preaching points are opened each year. But amongst nearly 40 million people, our churches are still really very few, especially is this true in areas outside of Western Nigeria. Churches are the center of every other method of missions, including schools, literature, medicine, and any other method. We depend upon the churches not only for the proper nurturing of Christians, but as prime centers for evangelism. Schools are vital in church development. You realize well the importance of our good seminary. To our seminary come 175 students representing 20 tribes, not from Nigeria alone, but from Ghana, Cameroon, Sierra Leone, and Kenya as well. Work in the seminary is conducted in English. Numerous pastor schools train other pastors in their own languages on a local level. 8 Baptist teacher training colleges are filled, and still there are not enough trained Christian school teachers to meet the demand. Elementary schools are multiplying faster than ever, but great populations, including whole tribes in the north, do not have a single elementary school. How is the nurturing process of Christians in churches to proceed without leaders who can teach, read the Word, and write? So the areas lacking schools lack leaders, and are hampered in church growth. A few high government officials are Christians. Pastors, teachers, and nurses that we have trained are serving and proving the value of trained leadership. Do not these leaders and the stability of their country attest the value of Christian schools? On the elementary level, practically all Baptist schools are operated by Nigerian churches and teachers. Teacher training colleges and high schools are largely staffed by Nigerians, while the seminary, pastor schools, and nursing schools are largely staffed by our missionaries. But beyond this, we also have a responsibility for higher education. We have around 30 scholarships which we maintain in theology, education, medicine, and other fields. As the recipients of these scholarships for higher education are carefully selected, these people become church and national leaders. How determinative is student thought? You remember Marjorie Michelmore, the Peace Corps girl who was removed from Nigeria after expressing herself? She was removed because university students protested. The Nigerian government might never have bothered except for the students' protest. Student thought is determinative today in scores of emerging nations. Former President Eisenhower was deterred from visiting Japan because of student thought there. As students go, so goes the world. We will lose uncountable opportunities to advance the kingdom unless we shortly multiply our missionaries that are in student work in the universities that are growing up in many, many countries. God help us not to underestimate the importance of leading the present student generation in Africa, and especially in strategic Nigeria. Church advance depends upon this. Like schools, medicine is vital in church development, especially where health figures in practically every consideration of life. Christ's compassion towards suffering, preached without practice, is meaningless. Although health care has improved a great deal, infant deaths are over half the number of births in the north. Malaria kills and weakens. Meningitis epidemics come annually. Our first year in Contagora, I was missionary advisor to churches in an area of a radius of about 100 miles of Contagora. After each meeting with churches, 10 to 20 to 30 persons came asking for medical care. Clinic was always held after each church meeting, many times after dark by lantern light. Can vigorous churches grow in a population with a high disease incidence? Christians need medical care that they may go forth and stay on the job. Medical care of non-Christians lends itself well to evangelism, as is well known. But the greatest challenge to missionary medicine in Nigeria today is Islamic fatalism. Islam says in adversity, vice, disease, or any other trouble, that there is nothing the believer can do but to submit. Islam means submission. Christian faith is expectant. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? There is no such thing as a hopeless case to an expectant faith. And God provides many useful means of helping sufferers. He provides new drugs, instruments, techniques that were not known 5 or 10 years ago. These prove God's intention that suffering should be relieved. Hopeful, prayerful medical care reveals to the Muslim an aspect of God's character that is almost unknown to the Muslim. My most memorable patient last tour was a woman named Amina, a woman in childbirth, hemorrhaging internally and in shock. With her circulation nearly gone and no blood available, Muslims would have regarded her as hopeless. With only dextrose and drugs to raise blood pressure, an operation was performed to stop the loss of blood, and the woman recovered. Without expectancy, it is impossible to please God. God wrought more than we could expect. He allows us to work His ends. One of my patients was the elderly Muslim priest who was the head of all the Muslim priests of Kanagura. No other Christian than a medical person might ever have witnessed to him. Such are the imperatives which God has placed before medical people. God delegates to medical people the witnessing to people whose only opportunity to understand is in connection with their medical care. The emir, our king of Kanagura, was a Muslim over 80 years old. He asked me to attend him in his illness, and for over a year I visited him each week. He was always warm and friendly and wanted me to thank the people who made possible the Kanagura Hospital. Through his improvement came an acceptance of Christians by his people even greater than we had hoped. One of the finest Christians in our medical work is Miss Ebun Adedayo, a midwife. She is competent, cheerful, prayerful. She is a nurse specialist licensed to attend mothers in childbirth. She left her own Yoruba land and came to Hausa country, where Yorubas are not appreciated and often are ill-treated. The girls in Hausa country have practically no opportunity to attend school because the schools are not there, and there's no way that they can become nurses and midwives. Ebun came to Kanagura, far from her home, rented a house, lived alone, worked in our hospital, and began to care for the Hausa mothers. She learned their language. She understood their superstitions. She endured their smells and their lack of hygiene. She delivered their babies. She visited their homes, taught them infant care, witnessed to them of Christ, and endeared herself to them. As a result of her work, mothers now have living babies who previously lost all of their children soon after they were born. Ebun is their revelation that in Christ there is hope. Medical care is vital in evangelism and in maintaining a vigorous witness in Christians. As great a contribution as any made by your missionaries is that which is made right in their own homes. Pastors come and sit down to talk over problems. WMU workers come and receive counsel from their missionary advisor. They study our homes, our stewardship of material things, the disposition and the discipline of our children, the attitudes which we show toward our household help either interprets or cancels all that we say from pulpits. Much of the advance of kingdom work is due to the efforts of Christian homemakers right in their own homes. I have not mentioned publication work, nursing, pharmacy, dentistry, medical technology, business work, agriculture specifically, but these all contribute greatly to church development, And we need reinforcements in every one of these fields. Through churches and the help of these other means, such as schools, medicine, literature, and radio, the Holy Spirit is bringing Nigerians into the kingdom. But we direly need breakthroughs while time lasts, for we have just dented Africa. The door of opportunity in Nigeria and through Nigeria strategically to all of Africa is hundreds of times greater than our Southern Baptist vision. We conceive of multitudes, but not of unending throngs of Muslim people. We imagine illiteracy, but we do not see what it is like to travel through towns and farms for 100 miles without seeing a single school of any kind. We think of disease, but not of cities of 30,000 people with no doctor or hospital. We talk of spiritual darkness, but we do not visualize cities where no churches are allowed to build within the city wall, and where virtually everyone prays to a dead Muhammad. We must first see the scope of opportunity in Nigeria today. Southern Baptists, we are far out of touch with the world as it really is. The cities and the farms are there. The suffering is there. The people are there. We are their contemporaries. As Christ was sent into the world, so are we sent into the world, and African Christians are sent into the world. This is God's plan, not man's. Our Lord prayed not only for present believers, but for those who should believe on Him through their word. Coming generations of Africa could believe on Him through the word of Nigerian Christians. Africa still largely awaits for our hearts to respond, our homes, our children to respond, our churches, and our convention to respond.
Lord, thou hast died, thou hast suffered, thou hast died, scourged and mocked and crucified.
hail the power of Jesus' name. Hymn number 9. Hymn number 9. Till my heart is clean. Hymn number 20. Hymn number 20.
Thank you.
29. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hymn number 29. And let us stand as we sing.
First morning, I attempted to express our appreciation to Mrs. Grooms for directing us in our song services, to Mrs. Helen Robertson at the organ, and to Nina Kondratoff here at the piano. And I know that you joined with me once again in saying thank you. Around the world, Angie Grooms is known for leading us in our song services, and especially in leading us in singing How Great Thou Art. And by special request, this will be our closing number of this song service this afternoon as Angie leads us.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the roar.
great thought, how great thought. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
assuming that the population of the world, in exact proportions, could be reduced to one town of 1,000 people, there would be 60 American residents. Now, notice to begin with, that is for every 1,000 people on Earth, not 100, but for every 1,000 people on Earth, 60 are Americans. Yet these 60 would receive half the income of the entire community of 1,000, with its 940 remaining citizens dividing the other half. Some 330 in the town would be Christian, but this includes all shades, nominal and otherwise, with fewer than 100 of them Protestants. 670 would not be Christians. Half the population would never have heard of Jesus Christ, while more than half would be hearing about Karl Marx. Each American family would be spending at least $850 a year for military defense, but less than $4 a year to share their Christian faith with other members of their community. These statistics from the Bible Expositor and Illuminator make us feel uncomfortable because they don't show the world that Christian America is really Christian. Dr. Wernher von Braun, outstanding space scientist, was asked by a neighbor to attend church with him. I accepted, he says, because I was anxious to see if an American church was just a religious country club, as I'd been led to expect. When we drove up, he continues, the small white frame building stood out in the hot Texas sun on a brown grass lot. Before long, I heard a screeching of brakes as up to this church drove an old battered bus. The door opened and 50 people climbed out until only the driver was left. Then he too climbed down and my host walked up to him. Dr. Von Braun, he said, I'd like you to meet our minister. It was the minister who drove that bus. Each Sunday, this man drove more than 40 miles picking up his parishioners. Together, these people make up a live, vibrant community. They worked together, prayed together, gave each other support. The congregation was trying to raise funds for a new Sunday school, and many of these people gave far more than their budgets should have allowed. This was the first time I really understood that religion was not a cathedral inherited from the past, or a quick prayer at the last minute. If Dr. Von Braun had visited your church that day instead, what would he have seen? When Christ visits your church, as he most certainly does, what does he see? Does he see a contagious joy of Christian fellowship which reaches out into the community to include others through personal witnessing and through mission churches? Does he see the Christian flag flying proudly and fearlessly as the church takes a Christian stand about moral and social issues in the community? Does Christ see a church budget which allocates the Christians' tithes and offerings to God in ways compatible with Christ's commands? By the way, do you really know what part of your church budget goes beyond itself through the cooperative program and mission investments? Are you proud of it, or are you ashamed? Does Christ see a week of prayer which profoundly affects the entire church, enlisting them in prayer and sacrificial giving which circles the globe? And does Christ see young people maturing spiritually through the church's training so that they might accept their full Christian responsibility? Just what does Christ see when he visits your church? We've examined for a moment the United States as a Christian nation, and that nation is Christian only through its churches. But churches are Christian only through individual Christians. Think of that for a moment. A 17-year-old girl in a small Florida town accepted Christ during a youth revival in her local Baptist church. She was certainly unattractive physically, with the added drawback of being excessively plump. She was talking with the youth revival team members after her salvation experience, and she exclaimed to one of them, "I feel so beautiful inside." And do you know that girl was beautiful? An inner radiance and joy shone through those unattractive features, adding a new dimension to her life of spiritual beauty. It showed in her life, and it made a difference. What does your Christian community, or what does your Christian living show to your community? And I would remind you of a verse from 1 Peter 2. But you are God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, we've a Savior to show to the nations, but we show it through individual Christians. Someone has said that a belief is something I hold, but a conviction is something which holds me. Only as individual Christians have deeper convictions about missions, convictions which compel them to go about actively witnessing for Christ, can we ever expect to show to the world the Savior who loves them. May I share my own personal convictions about missions with you in closing, and I mean it from my heart. I am a missionary. My appointment came when I heard him say, "Go and tell others." I feel a compulsion to share my joy in Christ with those who touch my life. Although my field seems very small, nevertheless it does not lessen the glory of my calling. The Holy Spirit sharpens my vision, and beyond the fog which enshrouds my little world, I glimpse unlimited horizons. My prayers can channel the impact of God's power into every corner of the earth. Through offerings invested in the lives of God's representatives, I too can go into all the world preaching the gospel to the lost everywhere. Always there is the open door of opportunity and the quiet confidence that Christ will go with me.
Kingdom shall come.